All right, we've reviewed the announcements. Let's review briefly the message from last week. Pastor Jim said that everything that's worth having is what?
Uphill.
Is uphill. Our growth is always in an uphill direction. Of course, uphill climbing is hard. When we were out on a walk last night, there was a part where we had to go up the hill and kind of slowed us down a little bit there. How many of you have had an uphill week? Kathy says she has. Yeah, some of us have, yes. But we are pressing on the upward way. The end of the goal, of course, is worth it for the believer. I'm so thankful that when we are struggling to go uphill, it's not in vain like the non-believers who have struggles. Because our Christian life doesn't mean health and wealth and prosperity, as some of the false preachers claim. But we can know that our Father does it for the purpose of planting our feet on higher ground. Stand as we sing, I'm pressing on the upward way to higher ground. In Psalm 23, we see the leading of our good shepherd for his sheep. He leads us in green pastures. Yeah, he leads us in green pastures by still waters and lovely places, but he also leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, wherever we are in our lives, he doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us, he leads us. And though we may not always enjoy the situation that we're going through, we can always enjoy fellowship with our good shepherd and be secure in his care, as well as enjoying the fellowship of the other sheep. That's y'all, right? We're all here. But wherever we are in this life, we can rejoice that we are securely his sheep and that he will always lead us.
Morning. It's been holding off on the weather. We're going to be out of town, my wife and I, next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day, and I'm going to take my sweetie, and we're going to Charleston. But we'll come home if you need us. But you better not need us, because I don't want to return quickly. No, if you have a need, by all means call. We'd rather come back and do that. We can do time out again. So be in prayer for us as we travel also. I'm excited about the video project. We've talked about the legacy that will be. Just think of this. We're going to put out 200 of these memory sticks. Suppose those memory sticks only touch 20 people a stick. How many is that?
How many is per?
Yeah, that's 4,000 people. That's amazing. But it's going to do a whole lot more than that. And they're going to be duplicatable on the field. That's leadership, because leadership multiplies. It doesn't just add, it multiplies. And I want to thank you for having a part in that. There are still opportunities. If somehow or other you missed the opportunity and you'd like to be a part of that, just stick an envelope designated for the video project for the Einfelds, and we'll include that in it. Last time I knew, we were up over 6,000 that had been collected for that project. And it's an expensive process to get done. There are lots of things going on. They've got transportation costs to get ahead of them. So be in prayer and stand by them. Let's take a moment and go to prayer first, and then we'll go to the book. Father, you don't leave us in this world alone. You put us in your family. Because in your family is where we'll be cared for. You said of Adam it was not good that he should be alone. And there are no Lone Ranger Christians in your family. We need one another. Paul tells us that what we're weak in, other people can supply. And where they fall down, we can make up the difference. And we can encourage one another and rejoice with one another. And we never go through it alone, because you go through it with us, but you go through it with us, with your people. And so as we bring these prayer requests and we think of new lives being brought into our family here, I pray that you'd watch and superintend over Sarah and her delivery and for all that means in their immediate family, but what it means to us. What a great responsibility that you put the lives of children in our hand and give us the opportunity to shape a generation for you. We pray for those who are struggling with things right now. Some are struggling with financial issues. Some are struggling with relational issues. Some of us are just really feeling the pinch, and we're struggling emotionally just to get by and get our shoes on for the next day. But you've promised us that you'd get us home before it got dark. Help us to have confidence in you. You know all about us. You know what our limitations are, and you've promised to not push us beyond our limits. Help us to have confidence, even though it feels really tough at times, to know it's part of your process of helping us to be mature and helping us to grow up in your family. We pray that you teach us from your word now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I started talking about why God uses the wilderness for us and what he's trying to accomplish in and through the wilderness. I want to take you to a wilderness psalm this morning, Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we've sanitized it with a nice little song. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And we've made it a nice, pleasant little song. This is almost a funeral dirge. Listen to these words and let them impact you. As the deer pants after water brooks in the wilderness, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. While they continue, say unto me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in thee. For I had gone with the multitude before. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holiday. Now listen to this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth to deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All your waves and billows have washed over me. Impact upon impact, event after event. The wilderness has just become intense, is what he's saying. Yet the Lord commands his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Lord of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You hear how that's a wilderness song? Somebody has been knocked out of their comfort zone big time, haven't they? And yet there's an answer for us here. We're going to look at it back in Luke chapter 4 this morning.
It can be a great encouragement to us to know that according to Hebrews 4:15, Jesus was tempted and tried in all points like we are, yet without sin. He's been there through our struggles. He was tested in his humanity, even tested as to whether or not he was the Son of God. But because of him, we know that he can give us the strength to meet our own trials and our testings. And in it all, through the suffering, even though the suffering may be very hard, he will be there to protect us and show us his mercies. Therefore, we can trust him.
Jesus has all authority in highest heaven and on earth, as nations bow to his decree. Fallen man will see rebirth. O Lord, my King, my justice flow down like a stream. Broken creation you redeem. Jesus is all I care to know. His word will guide me on my way. When I can't see which way to go, I will close my eyes and pray. O Lord, my light, my only light, the one who makes blind eyes to see, impart your wisdom unto me. One day my Lord will come again and raise the dead from every grave. He'll do away with wicked men, but his servants he will save. O Lord, my judge, my own, I struggle on life's race to run, and long to hear him say, well done. In Christ alone my joy is found. He turns my darkness into day. When troubled thoughts and fears abound, I will lift my voice and say, O Lord, my hope, my only hope, because my risen Lord is near, even in death I will not fear.
Wasn't that a great set of words? Wow. I never heard that song before. I'm glad you brought it. It's a blessing to my heart. Some of you weren't here last week. I took names. I know who you are. That's all right. Those of you that were here, you're going to help me out so that people get started off right, correct? Okay, here we go. Last week's message is?
Everything worth having on wheels.
Oh, that was lame. Let's go, class.
Everything worth having is uphill.
Right. You don't coast into success. No one coasts into success in their relationships. No one coasts into success in the Christian life. There is no progress without effort. It takes work to get the job done. And the only way that you get it done is that you get moved out of your comfort zone. That's why God uses the wilderness experience. Before he sends you to the wilderness, he reinforces you so that you know where you stand. And then he says, now go. And it's in that wilderness of discomfort, that wilderness of outside my comfort zone, that wilderness of difficulty and strain, that I get strong. It's where he develops my character so that it can support my talents. You've heard me say this goofy statement before. Our talents and our abilities can often take us to the place where our character can't sustain us. And then we crash and we burn. What God has in mind for us is to make progress. Psalm 84 is one of my favorite songs. You can go read it later. There's a great line in that. He said, we go from strength to strength, and you apply that principle through that psalm, I not only go from strength to strength, I go from grace to grace, and I go from glory to glory. God is in the business of doing that, but he does it in the wilderness, because in the wilderness is where we get strong, and until we get out of our comfort zone, we can't grow. I gave you the illustration. I told you that every child needs to hear this from their father and from their mother also, but particularly from fathers. Did you ever read through the Bible? Fathers are responsible for raising children, not moms. Ladies. Go read Ephesians chapter 6. Ye fathers, okay? Hopefully it's a team effort, but the responsibility falls on our shoulders. We're responsible for raising our children. How are we going to do that? Every father needs to say these words to their children. It's the words that God spoke audibly to Jesus twice in his life, at his baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration. Both times when he heard those words, immediately afterwards, wilderness, out of comfort zone. Jesus' wilderness experience, it says the Spirit of God immediately drove him to the wilderness. Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah come down and they talk to Jesus about his exodus, when he will be the Passover lamb that brings his people out of bondage and delivers them. And they'll be baptized into him the way that the Israelites were baptized into Moses. And he sets that pattern up for them so that they understand this is important now. What are the things that every child needs to hear? This is my son. I love him unconditionally. He's the delight of my life. You belong. You are loved. And you are special. That's what every child needs to hear. And before Jesus is put into the wilderness, God speaks audibly from heaven. He descends on Jesus in the form of a dove, and we hear a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You belong. You're loved. Marked by my love." That would be a good way of saying that. "And you're special. You're unique. You're precious to me." Wilderness. See, because it's in the wilderness that we grow. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he endured. That's how you're going to learn. It's through the... When you go into the wilderness, it's not because God is punishing you, he's developing you. I believe it was the Duke of Wellington who said that the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton. Eton was a private college for the development of men. What he was saying is, we won the Battle of Waterloo because on the playing fields of Eton, we learned the characteristics of manhood. And we stood like giants against an enemy who was greater than we, and we defeated them. That's what he said. You see, the wilderness is God's playing field, where you learn how to succeed at life. Now, having refreshed that, let me give you a warning. The warning is this: when you go to the wilderness, the first thing you want to do is return to your comfort zone. Even if your comfort zone was miserable. Think of Israel, they're down in Egypt, and what is their occupation in Egypt for 430 years? Slaves. And it's not nice. But when they get out, what is the first thing they say to Moses? "Oh, that we were back in Egypt, where we had leeks and onions. We had onion sandwiches." Boy, you did not sing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God" down there. See, we get outside of our comfort zone, and even if our comfort zone has been miserable and held us down and enslaved us, we'd rather go back there than go forward. And that's the danger. We develop in our comfort zone a slave mentality where we cannot thrive and we cannot grow. So if we are going to make progress in our life as Christians, and if we're going to develop in our life and in our businesses and in our relationships and in every aspect of our life, we ought to expect that there are going to be those wilderness times. And in those wilderness times, we need to know how to survive the wilderness and thrive in the wilderness so we come out with what the experience was supposed to develop. And so Hebrews chapter 12. I'll just remind you of it, okay? "Therefore, laying aside every weight, the sin that so easily does beset us, let us run with patience the race, the wilderness that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the ender of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him didn't lose track of where he was going, kept his eye on the goal, kept pressing on to the things that were important, and got it done right. Follow his example in the wilderness." That's what he's telling me. Luke chapter 4 begins after Luke chapter 3, where Jesus heard from heaven, "This is my Son, marked by my love." special and precious to me. That's the mountaintop experience. See, we get things upside down. In God's kingdom, the mountaintop is not up. The mountaintop is at the bottom. The valley is at the top. Philippians chapter 2, right? The way up is the way down. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given. See, it's when he went down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. What's due time? When you go through the wilderness. And when you go through the wilderness, marvelous things are going to happen. Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received of the Lord's hand doubling for all of her sin. Comes after Isaiah 39. Isaiah 39 says, here come the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. And you're going into the wilderness called captivity. What am I going to do there? I'm going to comfort you. How am I going to comfort you? They that wait upon the Lord will, say it with me, renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They go from strength to strength to strength. Because the way down is the way up, and the wilderness. There you go. It's uphill. But when you go uphill, you're going up. Let's see how Jesus did it. He's just heard, you're my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Actually, Matthew says he was driven, same wording as Adam was driven out of the garden. Adam has heard from God in the garden how that he's not only loved, but he's now redeemed. High time but then he's driven where? Out of your comfort zone. Why? Because it's time to grow up. See, the whole Bible pattern is built on this. The wilderness is to develop you. It's not to punish you. You have to understand that. Having said that, let's talk about three things that you learn going into the wilderness. And I want to tell you three things that you learn coming out of the wilderness. And then I want to talk to you just as a friend. When you go into the wilderness, three things are true. Number one, you will be tested there. I'll get back to that in a minute. Number two, the testing is good for you. In Psalm 119, right in the middle of it, 64, 65, 66, 67, someplace in there, it said, before I was afflicted, I went wrong. But afterwards, I kept your word. Then it says later on in the same thing, it was good for me to be afflicted because I learned and became strong in your word. See what an important thing that is for us to understand. It's that wilderness that does that. It's the affliction that does it. Our problem is that when we get afflicted, we develop a medical condition. It's called text neck. You know what text neck is? How many of you have a phone with you? What do you do when you operate your phone? How much does a human male head weigh? This is human head. How much it weigh? 12 pounds. I'll help you. A fully developed male head weighs about 12 pounds. At 12 degrees, your head puts 12, or straight up, your head puts 12 pounds of pressure on your cervical vertebrae. At 12 degrees, it puts 24 pounds of pressure on your cervical vertebrae. You see what's happening? At 30 degrees, it puts 29 pounds on. If you get to 60 degrees like most people do, you know how much your head weighs on your cervical vertebrae? 60 pounds. And before long, you go like this. That sound like Psalm 42? My soul, why are you downcast? Because I'm spending all my time looking down. You see, in the wilderness, I don't need to look down, I need to look to Jesus. Because that's going to take me up.
Amen.
I need to understand that process so God can work. Testing is good for me. Testing shows the validity of the faith that I possess, because a faith that is not tested can't be trusted. Plain and simple. If I've never put it to the test, I just read a great quote from Will Rogers. Was he Roy's brother? I don't know. Will Rogers said, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. It's good, isn't it? So we got it from. I have another place to get experience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who did it right the first time and didn't have bad experience. Watch how he did it and do it his way, and you'll thrive. Faith that passes the test can always be trusted. I'm going to give you three things that I was going to tell you. How is Jesus tested in the wilderness? Number one, he was tested in his humanity. He was tempted 40 days of the devil, and during those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered, and then the devil said to him, since you are the Son of God, knock out all the ifs in this, because our normal translation of that word is, since you are, I know who you are. Since you are the Son of God, you have the ability, go ahead and use your ability just to satisfy yourself, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus said unto him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Actually, he said Deuteronomy to him, and Deuteronomy says every word out of God's mouth is bread. It's life for us. What is he telling Satan? He's telling him this very simple principle. And this is the principle that you and I need to learn when we go into the wilderness, because in the wilderness, we lose our sense of direction. We have to wander around and go in the wrong direction and so on and make wrong choices. We're tempted to sin there and abandon the hope that we have in Christ. Jesus said, I learned to live bigger than my hurts. How many of you have ever been hurt and felt like you wanted to run away? Jesus said, don't run away. Realize that God has supplied all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Look to that, rely on that, and allow him to work through the process with you, because it is a process. And he says to you over and over again, when you go through, I will go through with you.
Amen.
He's going to take you through to the other side. Now you're on your way in, and the first thing that you have to understand is that you have to learn to live bigger than your hurts. And he'll give you things that will help you develop. Number two, he was tested in his loyalty, verse 5 and 6. The devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I can give it. That was a true statement. God had given all of that to Adam. Adam surrendered it to the adversary in the garden. He's the prince of this world until Jesus takes it back. And what he was saying to Jesus is, you don't have to go the route that you're planning to go. In order to have all this given to you, all you have to do is give up your loyalty to the Father, and I'll give you all of this without the wilderness and without suffering and without difficulty. And Jesus said, it is written, Deuteronomy again, Great word for that. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will you serve. During testing, don't run from your problems. Run to your source. Did you get that one? Don't run from your problem. Run to your source, and God will take care of you. He'll provide for you. He was tested in his humanity. He was hungry. He said, I live bigger than my hurts. He was tempted in his loyalty. He learned to run to his source. Verses 9 to 12. He brought Jesus and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, since you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest you at any time dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus knew who he was, but more importantly than that, he knew whose he was.
Amen.
He could sing, now I belong to Jesus. Well, he was Jesus. He belonged to the Father. See, we know who holds our tomorrow, and we stand in him. And there he hears in that identity of who he is the echo of what the Father had told him. You belong. You're loved. And you are special. You see, it's in our identity when we're tested that we discover our strengths. Which now brings me to the third thing I didn't tell you. You guys were taking notes, weren't you? He said, he only told us two things. He said he was going to tell us three things about testing. Every one of us will be tested. Testing is good for me. Here's the next one. Testing never ends. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended these temptations, light at the end of the tunnel, he departed from him for a little while, until he came back and let him have it again. Your wilderness will get over, but it's not done. It's coming back. Because until Jesus takes you to glory, you're not done yet. And so, you go from the mountaintop to the valley, which is upside down, and you reach the mountaintop, but then it's uphill. That's where the wilderness takes you. And so you have this wonderful process of God, and in His working in your life, you get tested in your humanity. Will I simply give myself to do it His way and follow His way, or is it then I'm tempted to be seduced and take shortcuts? None of which work, by the way. Number two, I'm tested in my loyalty. Where am I going to run? Run to your source. Number three, I'm going to be tested in my identity, and when I hear my identity, I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I know what I'm about. I now have a sense of direction, and now I have a way to get out of the wilderness. Now here's what you learn when you come out of the wilderness. First thing that I get when I come out of the wilderness, I find in the next section, which after verse 13 is verse 14. So Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, that went out of fame of Him through all the region about, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified at all. There was a new dynamic in living when He came out of the wilderness. Why? Because the faith that He had made Him strong. There's a new dynamic when He came out. And people recognized this about Him. He became bigger on the inside, which made everything on the outside easier to deal with. Because faith doesn't give us a life without problems, it just makes us bigger than the problems that life deals us. That's what faith does. It makes us stronger. Faith doesn't take away the problems, it makes me bigger than the problem. Because God has proved me in the wilderness. I used to really struggle with this word from Gideon's story. God comes to Gideon and said, go in this your power and save your people. Why would He say that? Because God has already put into Gideon in the trials that he's gone through the strength and the ability to carry the load that God has trusted him with. He's become His steward from Matthew 25, and He knows what His steward is capable of, and He's given him the resources to match his ability. And said, now go do it. How do I do it? You got the resources, figure it out. Gideon didn't get the picture. Gideon said, oh Lord, if all these things are for us, why did the Midianites oppress us? That's a very profound question, by the way. God never gives him a simple answer. He gives him a declaration. Go in this your power, save your people. Works this way. Why do people suffer illnesses? Doctors, answer, go find a cure. Didn't God give you ability? Didn't God give you talent? Didn't God give you resources? I'm glad Louis Pasteur listened. I'm glad that other people listened. I'm glad that you listen. If I'm going to trust my life to you guys to help me out, that's the answer. Why cancer? Find a cure. Why are children abused? Rescue them. That's the answer. Why hate? Love them. Love them. How can I do that? Wilderness. made you strong. Stronger than the problem. That's how faith works. You possess a new dynamic of life. Number two, you discover that problem times are the best times for you because life gets full of detours. And I don't like detours. A new dynamic in living, a new confidence in your purpose. Look at Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. That's always a hard place to go back to. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. They volunteered to read. I get volunteered by the people who make up the song sheet. They put in there that I'm supposed to read now, so I get up and I read. which is good, I like to read. He stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," or to tell them this is the day that God's going to act. And he closed the book and gave it again to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." I know what I'm doing. I've come to preach. I've come to lead. I've come to deliver. Those are the things that are on my plate. I know that because I came through the wilderness and it sharpened my focus, and I set down all the other things that were distracting me from the purpose that was before me to develop me and make me strong. And I have a new sense of purpose. God has a plan for us. And the adversary wants to distract us from that plan. And it's the wilderness when we come out of it with that new identity that I belong and I'm loved and I'm special and God has a purpose for me. Which brings me to the third thing. I possess a moral authority. Notice what happened when we get by verse 21. I'm just reading these texts to you today. Sometime we'll sit down and exegete through them, but right now, he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all who saw him wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't that little Jesus who we grew up, the carpenter's son?" Said all their eyes were fastened on him, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Another place it said, he taught them as one having authority. How did he teach them as one having authority? Well, in Matthew's gospel, when he comes back from the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, you have Matthew chapter 5, where he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. And all those who heard said, "Where did he learn stuff like that? Tell me the answer. Where did he learn stuff like that?"
From his father.
Yeah, wilderness. That's where he learned it. He came out of the wilderness. He had a new moral authority. That's where it happened. See, I don't run from the trouble. I embrace the trouble because it's there that I find my strength. God said he is a very present help when... Where do I get troubles? In the wilderness. You see, it's not punishment for you. Are you going through some wilderness times right now in your life? How many of you are not? Just, I'm happy in Jesus, never had anything so good in my life. Any volunteers want to go there? No. You got troubles on every hand, don't you? Embrace it. He's a very present help in time of trouble. That's where you're going to discover how much he loves you, what he's going to do for you, where he's going to help you, where he's going to direct you. Stay hooked in this book. Learn the principles. That's what Jesus answered the devil's temptation with. It is written. Whenever Satan tempts you, that's what you say to him. It is written. And stand. And you'll discover that you'll get respect. And the first person that'll give you respect is you, because you've learned what you need to learn, and you'll respect yourself and where you're at. And you can grow from there. Okay? Bigger character always supports larger life, and without growth, you don't mark time, you lose time, and you go downhill. Well, let me wrap it up. For today, anyhow. How many of you have regrets? Any of you not qualified? Don't you wish you could go get a do-over? I don't. I used to think I wanted a do-over. But I really don't, and there's a reason. If I went back and did it over, I'd never have gone through the wilderness that God sent me through, and I never would have learned what I was supposed to learn, and I would have been bankrupt and poor and miserable. Do I wish it hadn't happened? Probably. There are people that I hurt that I wish I didn't hurt. There were failures that I went through. There were hurts that came my way that scarred me deeply. There were times in my life where I was knocked down into the hole of depression. But God lifted me up out of that, and when I came out, I was strong. But I had to go there first to get to where he wanted me to go. And I learned it in the wilderness. And that's where you'll learn too. Don't run from these trials. Embrace them. Embrace them. Because that's where God's going to make you strong. Because everything that you want is uphill. That's where you're going to find it. You know why you lost the things that you lost along the way? Why your businesses went downhill, why your relationships broke up, why you lost popularity, why all these things? Because you didn't do anything. It wasn't that you did the wrong thing, it's because you did nothing. And anything times nothing is nothing. Don't you regret having nothing. Does that make sense? So when the wilderness comes, keep your eye on Jesus and walk. And when you go through, he will go through with you.
Amen.
Are you encouraged?
Yes.
You ought to be. That's what he has planned for you. I'm living on the upward way. Aren't you glad you sang that this morning? Well, I'm ready to swing from the chandeliers when I hear that kind of singing. You know? Because it's true. I've come to set you free, and if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And now you've heard the truth about the wilderness. And if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be
free indeed.
Free indeed, thank you. Isn't that good?
Amen. Hmm?
Shall we pray? Father, forgive us for thinking that somehow the Christian life was supposed to be a playground, but it's a battlefield. Or better yet, it's a training ground where we prepare for the battles that are coming our way. So for this day, help us to walk in the valley with you and discover how to survive the test to our humanity and our loyalty and our identity, and discover what you'll put into us because we did. Bring us out triumphantly, able to be used for you in touching the hearts and lives of people who don't have a clue how you work. But we have to go there first so we can lead them and they can discover freedom for themselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My very wise and godly wife said that her life was changed when she learned how important it is to thank God every day. But have you ever thanked God for something that was not easy in your life? You know, sometimes it feels like we're not being genuine if we say, "Thank you, God, for these trials." Really? But if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you can attest that anything that's worth having is going to be what?
Uphill.
It's going to be uphill, all right? These things bring tremendous spiritual growth. They bring us closer to the Lord if we allow them to, instead of becoming bitter or becoming angry. So as we close, we'd like to sing a song that Jim reminded us of a couple of months ago. It says, "Thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way." Now, can you sing that song honestly today? Can you thank God for the difficulties, for the suffering, for the temptations that have come into your life? Because really, he does work these things together for good in the lives of those who know him and love him and are called according to his purpose. If you purpose to thank him for all that he sovereignly brings into your life today, stand with us as we sing this last song, "Thank You, Lord, for the Trials That Come My Way."